Government charges alleged leaker.
She held a top secret security clearance at a government facility.
Way clear for ex-FBI chief's testimony.
There is no one who has tried to put limits on Comey.
London's tributes to attack victims. Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. President Trump has demanded the government go after people who leak information. And now, for the first time since he took office, someone faces charges. It's a 25-year-old federal contractor with a top-secret security clearance named Reality Lee Winner. CBS's Jan Crawford says she's accused of sending information to a reporter.
The Justice Department alleges that Winner printed out the classified document, which was dated May 5th, and that she admitted to removing, retaining, and mailing it. Now, Winner remains in federal custody, and she'll have a detention hearing on Thursday. If convicted, she could face up to 10 years in prison.
Winner's attorney did not confirm whether she's accused of leaking an explosive NSA report that's now emerged. CBS's Jeff Pagaz says it indicates Russian hackers compromised at least one American voting software firm just days before the 2016 presidential votes.
The report says hackers stole user credentials from a U.S. election software company in Florida. Then, just over a week before the November 8th election, the hackers used those credentials to send fake emails laced with malware to 122 local government officials likely involved in the management of voter registration systems.
The report does not say if the hacking had any effect on the election results. The White House says President Trump won't claim executive privilege, something that could have complicated Senate attempts to get testimony Thursday from former FBI Director James Comey. CBS News congressional correspondent Nancy Cordes.
Democrats and Republicans alike really want to know what transpired between these two men. Republicans on Capitol Hill have a lot of respect for James Comey. They thought he was a good FBI director. And so his word carries a lot of weight for them to this day.
With his agenda running into snags, President Trump is set to meet with Republican leaders in Congress. White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy joins us now. Stephen.
Well, the afternoon meeting with top House and Senate Republicans is aimed at refocusing the president and his congressional allies on his ambitious legislative agenda. Tax reform, Obamacare repeal, the budget, plus the debt ceiling, not to mention the infrastructure ideas Mr. Trump is laying out in events this week. But hanging over it all is the week's main event. About 48 hours from now, the testimony of the FBI chief the president fired last month. Oh, and the president's tweets. There's not a lot of time to do all that Republicans want to get done. And the White House's legislative affairs man admitted yesterday the Russia probe is detracting from it all and getting in the way. Steve?
Well, there are plenty of questions in London about one of the three men who killed seven people in last weekend's terror attack. Let's go there live to CBS's Vicky Barker.
As a trainee at London Transport last year, suspected ringleader Corumba reportedly had access to tunnels that run under Britain's Parliament building. This even though his radical Islamist beliefs were already known to both police and Britain's MI5 spy agency. The second terrorist named, Libyan-Moroccan Rashid Redouan, was not on any watch lists. But even as Britons were observing a minute's silence for the victims this morning, an Italian newspaper was reporting that the third attacker was a Moroccan-Italian named Youssef Zagba, who was brought to Britain's attention last year when he was stopped at Bologna Airport trying to get to Syria. Steve?
Local forces backed by the U.S. have launched an offensive in the Syrian city that ISIS claims as its capital. We're live at the Pentagon this morning with CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Steve, the U.S. military says the offensive for Raqqa is now underway. It was one of the first cities captured by ISIS in 2014. The U.S. commander overseeing the fight says this will be long and difficult, and it comes at the same time as a brutal battle for western Mosul in Iraq. Turkey, meanwhile, is very concerned about the makeup of these Syrian democratic forces fighting for Raqqa because many are Kurds, and Turkey believes they're linked to a terrorist group. But the U.S. military insisted again this morning this is a multi-ethnic force that has proven itself in past battles.
The judge in the Bill Cosby sex assault trial is set to decide today whether the mother of the accuser who testified yesterday can also take the stand. CBS's Matt Piper.
The 12-member jury heard from Cosby accuser Kelly Johnson, who says he drugged and assaulted her in the mid-1990s. But Cosby is not on trial for this accuser. She was brought on by prosecutors to show alleged similar conduct with dozens of other women. Women like Andrea Constan, the key accuser in the case, who's expected to take the stand saying similar allegations happened to her in 2004. Cosby faces 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault, which could give him a prison sentence of 30 years. Matt Piper, CBS News, Norristown, Pennsylvania.
Move over, bud. Here comes Jim Beam. The Wall Street Journal reports the National Football League will allow ads for hard liquor during this season's games, but no more than 4 30-second spots per game. The NFL's had a ban on ads for spirits for decades. State soccer officials in Nebraska are being asked to overturn a decision that disqualified a girls' team from a tournament in Omaha because local officials ruled 8-year-old Millie Hernandez is a boy.
It's only because the looks, like when they look at me, they think I'm a boy, but I'm really not.
Millie has short hair, but her paperwork indicates she's a girl. Teammates are vowing to take their own stand.
I don't think it's really fair at all. We might cut our hair
just like support her.
We're thinking about it.
Well, 73 years ago today, Allied forces stormed France's Normandy beach on a pivotal day in World War II, D-Day.
Every year they come to a place where thousands of Americans died. Every day there are tours.
The first troops to land on the beaches would be engineers. They would.
Many come here for closure. This woman's father was part of the D-Day invasion.
It's not like I'm walking in his footsteps, but I feel like I'm in the neighborhood of his history.
Tom Miller's father was also part of the invasion. He came to the Normandy beaches in March.
You know, I guess I really wanted to see the place where he did that, you know, and helped help fight for his country and did something that he believed in.
The most sacred spot for Americans is the U.S. cemetery, and every day, at the end of the day, they play taps as the American flag is lowered. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
A Johns Hopkins medical ethicist learned about painkiller addiction the hard way. CBS's Bill Rakoff says he believes his story is like many others.
Travis Ryder suffered a severe foot injury 2 years ago in a motorcycle accident and ended up on powerful painkillers that caused him 4 weeks of withdrawal. He says he was angry that no one in the medical chain warned him of the addictive nature of the drugs.
It just never occurred to me that I would have to worry on my own.
But he doesn't blame the doctors.
They were trying to relieve my pain in this way that they've been told they are obligated to do.
In our Skype interview, Ryder says the tide is turning and doctors are starting to pay more attention to what they're prescribing their patients. Bill Rakoff, CBS News.
Actor Roger Smith has died at 84. He's best known for his role as a hip private eye on TV's 77 Sunset Strip and was married to the actress Anne Margaret and was also her manager. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.